may speak in the name of Almighty God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the difficulties that I find with today's gospel is it sounds as if one day Jesus just turns up and immediately we walk away from our old life and follow him. Leave everything behind and follow him. That's how St. Matthew's gospel describes it for Peter, for Andrew, for James, and for John in today's gospel story. I don't doubt that it's a true story. I don't doubt that sometimes that can happen. Perhaps that's how it happened for some of you, but that's not the only way. My story certainly was a lot different to that. Perhaps yours was different too. I hadn't been brought up in the church, though my dear mother, who died today last year, as you remember, had been a very faithful Anglican all of her life and had tried desperately and unsuccessfully to get my two older brothers to go to church. By the time I came along as a surprise addition to the family, a happy one, I guess, she'd basically given up on trying. So I didn't go to church when I was a little boy. The two events converged that would eventually lead me through the doors of a church for the first time when I was about 16 years old. One was a far more mystical, out of this world kind of experience, and the other, well, far more earthy. The mystical element still to this day is one of the most powerful spiritual experiences that I've ever known. It happened like this. One night I had what can only be described as an out-of-body experience. As I fell asleep in my bed, I became aware of myself rising up and looking down at myself. And then I continued to go up through the ceiling of the house until I could see the house below me. And then further up when I could see the town that I lived, and I could see the streets of the town that I lived. And then I continued to go up until I could see Britain. And then I could see the world. And then the world got smaller and smaller until it was a tiny speck in the universe. And I had exactly the same dream consecutively for 7 nights. This powerful dream made me realize for the first time that there was an otherness in the universe. That what I had known wasn't all that there was. And that somehow this otherness seemed to care for me, for this tiny, tiny, insignificant speck in the vastness of the cosmos. That was the first factor. The second was far more earthly, and forgive me if I've told you this story before, but it concerned Sue Davis, the girl that I really fancied at the time. And once I realized that she attended the church youth group that my friend also attended, then to his great surprise, when he next invited me to go to church with him, I enthusiastically declared, "Definitely. If God was fishing for me, then she absolutely used Sue Davis as the hook," you might say. And I'm thankful for it in oh so many ways. The truth is, there are probably as many ways as being called, finding God, finding Jesus, being found by Jesus, whatever you want to call it, as there are people. It is unique and personal to each one of us. The point, however, isn't how it happens, but that it happens and it continues to happen. It's never a once and for all, finally and forever kind of thing. Our entire life is a conversion. We're always being converted, shaped, and formed into the likeness of Christ. Over and over again, Jesus comes to us and says, follow me. Following him does not happen in the abstract, but in the context, the circumstances and relationships of our lives. Our relationship with Jesus is grounded and experienced in the people and the events of our lives and of our world. So it was for Peter, for Andrew, for James, and for John. We see that throughout the remainder of Matthew's account of the gospel. He not only describes the life and ministry of Jesus, but the ongoing shaping and forming of Peter's, Andrew's, James's, and John's lives. That shaping and forming happened in Jesus' teaching at the Beatitudes, in his healing of the sick, in his telling of parables, in his feeding of the 5,000, in Peter complaining that they had left everything behind, in James and John arguing with the others and hoping to sit at Jesus' right and left, and in Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Every one of those moments echo with Jesus' words, follow me. Every one of those is as much a turning point in the lives of Peter, Andrew, James, and John as was the day they first met with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. Turning points always resound with the invitation to follow Jesus. They intersect our lives with his life. Isn't that what was happening in the gospel story we heard? Jesus say some words. He only says two things, really. Repent and follow me. At some level, they are two sides of the same coin. So often when you hear the word repentance, we think, uh-oh, someone's in trouble. They need to change their ways. Well, it can mean that, and sometimes that needs to be the focus. But also, it means much more than that. Repentance is not so much about what you're turning away from as what you're turning towards. It is a life change, a turning point, an epiphany. We look in a different direction. We see through new eyes. We establish new priorities. We travel on a different road. The turning points of our lives always bring us face to face with Jesus, and they come in lots of different ways. Sometimes they come as we planned, worked, and hoped for. Other times they are completely unexpected and take us by surprise. Sometimes they bring us joy and gladness. Other times we are filled with sorrow and loss. Sometimes they affirm everything we thought and we believed. Other times they leave us confused and not knowing what to believe. You've probably experienced all of those and more in the turning points of your own life. Think about your turning points, times when, for better and worse, your life was turned on its axis. Perhaps it's when you moved out of your home for the first time, went to college. Perhaps it was falling in love, getting married, the birth of your child, the death of a loved one, graduation from school, beginning your first job. Perhaps it was losing a job. Perhaps it was divorce. Perhaps it was discovering the passion that excites, inflames, and drives your life. Perhaps it was an anniversary grounded in commitment and deep satisfaction. Perhaps it was going to the AA meeting for the first time. Or maybe it was your new role as a carer for your spouse or for a parent. Maybe it was your retirement. The list could go on and on. We could all tell stories of our life's turning points. Our lives are a series of turning points, some big, some small. Regardless, with each turning point, we see ourselves, others, and the world differently. We think differently. We focus on different concerns. We ask different questions, and we move in a different direction. What they all have in common, however, is Jesus' invitation, his call to follow me. Each turning point comes with an opportunity for and a promise of Christ to refashion our lives. That's what Jesus did for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. I will make you, he says. That's what he does for us as well. He promises to make us, to remake us into our truest selves in his likeness. This does not happen in spite of our life circumstances, but in and through our life's circumstances. That's what happened for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Their turning point came in sailing the same boat on the same lake, using the same nets, doing the same work that they had done the day before, and the day before that, and the month before that, and the year before that. So look at your lakes, your boats, your nets, and the circumstances of your life. What is the turning point you face today? What's happening? What do you see? Somewhere in your life today, there is a turning point, a place of repentance. Maybe you know exactly what it is. Maybe you're not yet recognizing it. Maybe you've closed your eyes to it. Regardless, it's there. And so is Jesus. Beckoning, calling, longing, desiring. He stands there saying to you, and to me, follow me. I will remake you. Amen.